Hello and welcome to episode 37 of the Sprues and Brews podcast, your weekly gazing into the world of Warhammer. My name is Dave and I'm joined again by Matt.
Hello, scrying into the pool of Warhammer mysteries.
That sounded much better than what I said.
I was just wondering, how do you gaze into a podcast?
You know what? Do you guys just want to host this and I'll just like sit back and just drink brews while you're... And that other voice you can hear is Jay.
Hello. Yeah, to be fair, I can't think of anything better to say either.
Well, there you go.
That's an alright intro, Dave.
Yeah, thanks. Alright. Ruined, but never mind. So, yes, here we are with a brand new podcast. We've got a new battle tome next to us. Matt, you've got your Hedonites of Slaanesh.
Yeah, it's a very tasty battle tome as well. If you've seen on Twitter, I've forsaken Khorne and been building Slaaneshi stuff last
few days. And you've got this book as well, haven't you?
I do also have this book, yes.
And I don't have this book.
No, you should do. It's ace.
Nah. So we're going to be talking about that during the course of the podcast. We also have Warhammer Fest coming up on Saturday. So we're going to be talking about what we hope to see there, what we know is going to be there, and all the different tasty stuff.
Yeah.
But our top three is going to focus on what we think is going to make an appearance.
What we'd like to see.
Mine are kind of realistic.
I think mine are relatively realistic.
Yeah.
Anything goes nowadays.
We also have the community top three picks as well, and of course we have the new segment, which is as bulging as ever. Before we start with our what's so funny?
Nothing.
Bulging at the seams.
Bulging new section. Before we get to our hobby progress for this week, I will just say if you would like to get in touch with us, please do so via social media. At Sprues and Brews is usually where we hang out lots. But we can also be found on facebook.com/Sprues and Brews and instagram.com/Sprues and Brews. And let's not forget YouTube, which is youtube.com/Sprues Brews. No one there. So, I thought I'd get all that social media linkage out of the way, just because people want to get in touch.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what have you... I'm going to start it this week, because Dave always gets to do this last. What have you been working on this week, Dave?
I have brought with me what I've been working on, actually, Matt. I'll first talk about what I haven't brought with me. So, I've been doing some more work on my prosecutors. They're not quite finished, but they're getting there. I didn't post an update picture because... I kind of already put one of the original one, because I did one first,
yeah.
And now I'm doing the other two. But they should be finished maybe tomorrow night, depending on if we're Warhammer Underworlding tomorrow.
Just in time to get D6 Mortal Wounded off the board.
Again, actually, they did all right against Matt.
They did do okay, better than the Evocators.
The Evocators, let's not forget, killed a Magma Draff.
They did. So we had a game, didn't we? When was it? A couple of days ago.
We did.
Fire Slayers versus Stormcast.
Yeah.
First time using the new Fire Slayers book. They're pretty good, aren't they, Dave?
Nails, Matt. Nails. I mean, you're, Half-Guard Berserkers?
Yeah, Half-Guard Berserkers. They in the Lords of the Lodge formation, they can pile in twice. There's all sorts of prayers that, with the right kind of... artifacts and being nearby the shrine, you're pretty much guaranteed to get those prayers off as well.
They work well. You were casting most prayers on 2+'s until towards the end of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, those berserkers are nuts, just fresh off the war scroll. But when they had all those stuff on them,
and empowering the second time as well,
I just didn't want to. Do you know what Matt did as well?
What?
How despicable is this? Right. He told me that if I killed his Magma Draff, he would lose the ability to pile in twice with his berserkers. So that finished my decision-making off, because I was toying with what I was going to do my Evocators for. He's got to go. So I killed his Magma Draff, and then Matt had the audacity to turn around and say, oh, actually, Dave, those two heroes stood there. They also give them that ability, so yeah, they still going to be piling in twice.
I'd forgotten they were in the same battalion, and they just kind of ran up next to them to give them the buff.
Killed half the unit of Evocators, and then went back in again and finished the job. Yeah. Oh, no, you left one alive.
To tell the tale.
Who passes battle shock and then
tell all your friends what happened to you.
I think the unit of the match was the Volkite Berserkers, who weathered about 60 bolts from your ballistas.
So it was only the second time I've used the battalion, the 2,000 points with the hailstorm battery, the battalion, and it's awesome. Like, I've got two ballistas. I know I maybe should have more, but I've got two ballistas and a unit of three castigators. The castigators at least did one wound every shooting phase.
Well, they were like your pathfinders, weren't they?
Yeah, they're my
marker lighting up the targets,
giving me rerolls to hits with my ballistas. They only had one bad turn.
And it was a fairly bad turn.
Everything hit, but then when I rolled to see how many of those, because it turned into D6 hits, I rolled really low.
Didn't you have like four hits or something stupid like that?
It was somewhat silly. So that was a shame, but they made the points back, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And they made you charging down that centre very difficult. Well, it should have been impossible if it weren't for that.
Should have been. They still killed your Griffhound, though, didn't they?
What remained of your dwarves. Yeah, they charged into my Griffhound and slayed him. But it was a good battle. We played focal points. Yeah. In the end, I just couldn't get the objectives off you.
I think if you'd have been able to take out those Hearthguard Berserkers and then taken the centre, it would have been a bit different.
Yeah.
But then your kind of battle line crumpled a little bit, and then I just surged forward with all the dwarves.
Yeah.
How do you take out those Hearthguard Berserkers with the 4+?
Mortal wounds.
Oh, mortal wounds, right.
Mortal wounds is the way to go, isn't it?
Well, they still ignore that on a 4+ if they're near a hero. If you take it, the best thing, take out the heroes and then they'll drop like flies.
You just got to somehow get to the heroes. Later on in the game, I managed to get to them.
Yeah.
But, it was only when your army sort of opened up. So I've been painting the two prosecutors. I've also been painting my Skaven warband, which I have been posting on Twitter. So I've done Spike Claw, the leader. He's finished, apart from I missed his fang. Can't remember which one he is. I think he's the Festering Skaven.
Craig.
No, not Craig. Craig's next.
Oh, right.
No, right. So I did the Festering Skaven, and then last night I was doing Craig.
Right, yeah.
Or Creek, whatever his name is.
Craig. It's Craig.
And
Craig.
As I was finishing him off, I snapped him.
You snapped Craig?
I snapped Craig.
Out of all the ones to snap, you snapped Craig.
As I was putting my painting tray down, I was using the paint handle, it fell off and broke Craig.
Oh, yeah, look at him there.
Poor Craig.
So, as his wash was drying,
the dwarf in me is quite happy to see this, but
yeah. Now he looks salvageable. Pin through that ankle, pin through his leg, it'll be all right to fix.
He doesn't need a right foot, Dave. He's got a left one.
So yeah, Matt's very kindly volunteered to fix him for me because I'm useless when it comes to anything even remotely.
He looks good though, Dave. Apart from the fact that he detaches from his base.
Yeah, and like his little buddies on his shoulder.
Yeah, I just noticed them, a little two rats on his
shoulder. Two rats on his shoulder. So that means I've only got two left to paint now, and then that's the warband finished.
Does that mean you have to get some more Skaven once you've done these then, Dave?
I've got to finish my Stormcast first, Matt.
Okay.
So I won't be buying any more Skaven now until my Stormcast are finished.
You won't be buying any more Skaven
until Warhammer Fest in a couple of days.
Until Warhammer Fest, and I come back with a box of clan rats. Yeah. To start with.
Yeah.
Taster. This is
just ease yourself in.
Yeah. So that's what I've been doing hobbying wise. How about you, Jay? Because you're hobbying right now.
I'm hobbying right now. I'm currently also painting my Shadespire gang. We've been playing a lot of this recently, and I'm loving it. I'm really, really into it. The Sylvaneth Warband is the one I'm working on at the moment, so I'm just doing the weapons today. And it's got it's a nice little project because it's not too big. It's the models are really nice. They're some of the best models they make, I think. Really,
yeah,
really detailed.
I mean, I really rate the kind of push fit models.
Yeah,
they're very dynamic. Again, you've only got a few of them, so they're all unique looking, all very cool. And you can use them in a game of Warhammer as well if you want to.
Yeah, well, I'm painting these up to match my existing Sylvaneth army, so I can add them in. So hopefully they'll be finished before Warhammer Fest. There's only the weapons and a few of the spikes and bases to do now, so they're coming along nicely. I'm really enjoying this, and I'm really looking forward to Warcry, because I think that'll be the next little piece.
Yeah, I think that if it's a similar kind of thing, small warbands in a more kind of tactical game, quick games as well. Yeah, I think that'd be one to watch. Hopefully we see some proper details of it on Saturday.
Yeah,
I think that's a given, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a given. We've seen both warbands. We've seen a bit of a trailer. all that's left is how you play the game now, really, isn't it?
And am I right in thinking it's not just Chaos?
That is correct. There's definitely a Sylvaneth faction.
Right, okay.
I think there was, eight Chaos factions, eight non-Chaos factions? I think that's all we know at the minute.
Okay, until the weekend.
Yeah, and it might be a case of the awesome big box set, or however they release it, it's got two warbands, and then the other Chaos ones as box sets. I imagine the non-Chaos ones will be box similar to Kill Team, I guess, where you get an old sprue and some scenery in a 50 quid box or something.
Yeah, it might be a case of... it depends on how you build your warbands. Would depend on how you go about your non-Chaos factions.
I mean, you might be wrong. They might have, like, bespoke teams for everything. That'd be a surprise to me.
Would be a big surprise,
It would give them an opportunity to release some new War Scrolls for some older armies. You know, like Shadespire. They got new sculpts with War Scrolls, maybe.
Well, you know, we've seen, eight teams per season on Shadespire?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing that makes me think otherwise is Kill Team haven't had, a new kit.
No.
And I think it's probably going to be more along that. Well, maybe more like Mordheim.
Like an introduction to the... Kill Team's very much an introduction to 40k in a way. I mean, it's
a different game, though, isn't it? Yeah.
Is it a different dice system?
Well, only really set up... The actual game itself is still D6s.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Warcry, I guess it's going to be its own standalone thing, so, yeah. It's definitely one to watch.
Yeah. Cool. What have you been working on, Matt?
So, this week, I've mostly been building Seeker Chariots of various flavours.
Is it safe to say, Matt, that you don't like building Seeker Chariots?
I despise building Seeker Chariots, but in some kind of perverse way, I've been battering on through... I guess that's the Slaanesh in me.
Yeah.
Suffering through these spiky, horrible kits.
And as much as he hates doing it, what was it you said before we hit record?
So I'd written an army list which had some Seekers in. And I was thinking, if I drop both those Seekers and the kind of Seeker formation, I could fit in another three chariots and have an all-chariot list. And then if I did that, I could shuffle around some other things and have two of each hero on Seeker chariot and... Yeah, I think I could possibly buy another five Seeker Chariots to make a 2,000 points list of just Chariots.
I would only allow you to use this if you remix Chariots of Fire into some really evil song that you could play as we're having Games of Warhammer.
I don't think it'd be the most competitive list in the world.
Do you not think?
Nah, you don't have any bodies, and they're only like 6-wound Chariots. It'd be really cool, though.
Do a lot of damage. Do an alpha strike.
Yeah. And to be fair, the six heroes on... I mean, we'll talk about this in our main Slaanesh section. But the six heroes will generate so much depravity.
Yeah. So you'll always have chariots on the table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've been doing that. I built up Thundrix Profiteers. Not had a chance to spray them up because it's been a bit rubbish, the weather, the last few days. Hopefully there's a break in the rain to get these sprayed up and get some paint on them. And we've been kind of loving the Warhammer Underworlds recently. We've had a few games over the last week.
Yeah, we've all of a sudden... I mean, we've never not enjoyed it. It's just we don't seem to have ever had this many games.
I think we've had Jay's buy-in with the new gangs coming in. You've kind of finally kind of fell in love with the game, haven't you, with these guys?
Yeah, that's it, yeah. And I think it seems to me like the kind of game that the more you put into it, the more you get out of it. You know, you're tweaking your decks, changing your tactics, looking at different styles of play, looking at different boards... It's quite a deep game, actually.
Well, I mean, at this point, we've got, 16 warbands plus hundreds and hundreds of cards?
Yeah.
Where at launch, when you first played it, there wasn't much in the way of customization, was there?
No.
Were you just... sorry to interrupt, but were you just painting that guy, holding your painting handle, but the model wasn't actually on the paint handle? Did you notice you were doing that?
Run that past me again, Dave.
You had your paint handle in your hand?
Yeah.
But you were holding on to your model
like that
on top of it, yeah.
Yeah,
you know that opens.
Yeah,
that's the whole point of it. You don't have to hold that.
Jada's extreme painting.
Extreme painting.
So
sorry, Matt.
So we've been loving Underworlds. I'm very tempted to get tickets to the Grand Clash at Warhammer World in a few weeks.
We've just been discussing this, haven't we?
I really want to go to this.
Yeah.
I think it'd be good to play some different people. You might win some cards. We'll probably be loitering around the bottom tables more than likely, but we'll have some fun.
Well, me and you, we've got a tiny bit of Warhammer Underworld's competitive.
You mean that time we entered? There was prizes for the top eight players, and it was an event with eight players in it.
No, there was nine.
Oh right, sorry, there was nine.
There was
Dave.
Nine. One guy didn't get anything.
That would have been me.
So yeah.
So it was fun, and I realised.
So coming 7th and 8th in a Warhammer Underworlds tournament of 9 players is our claim to fame, Dave.
hey, everybody starts somewhere, right? We don't just go and win, come third place in Throne of Skulls, you know. we've had a tiny bit of a taste of the competitive scene.
Yeah.
I think it'd be really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good experience as well, and you know, we'll learn a few things.
Yeah.
You know, what we think currently is a good deck might just get completely blown away. Plus, we'll see what the people's decks look like.
Yeah, I mean, give us a shout on Twitter as well if you're kind of into Underworlds or if you're going to the event as well. We'll hopefully see you there.
Yeah. Awesome. See, everybody's been quite busy.
Yeah, I haven't done any painting this week. I think I'm going to try and get some of these chariots painted because once I've got the paintbrush out, I should be able to nail these pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, I've done more this week than I had last week.
I've done the same.
These are distracting me. These Skaven from Project Stormcast, which I should really be pushing.
I think it's safe to say we're having a bit of a palate cleanser this month from the Tale of Gamers.
Yeah, I think we are. But I'm now getting those prosecutors finished.
Yeah,
the thing is, you don't want to get burnt out, you know. And at the end of the day, you want good results, don't you? And I find sometimes if you're painting something you don't want to be painting, you don't do as good a job.
And this is it's fun to just throw in, you know. That's why the Underworld games are so fun to paint. It's just something different. If you've got what, 4 or 5 models in general,
yeah,
something a bit different. Get some paint on them. Loving it.
Awesome. Right. Well, that wraps up our entrance to this week's podcast 37. I tell you what, we're cracking through these, aren't we?
Are, yeah.
So we will take a pause right now and we'll come back with the new section. And so, onwards we go and delving into this week's news. So, do you want to kick us off, Matt?
I will indeed kick us off into the delve into the news, as you so eloquently put it. So, yeah, we've got a busy old week this week, news-wise.
Yeah.
So, new stuff coming for pre-order. We've got Kill Team Elites up for pre-order on Saturday. This is a new expansion for Kill Team, allowing you to use, well, Elites, clues in the title. Also has the Custodes in it for the first time.
This might be what gets me into Kill Team.
Yeah.
Could be.
So this looks cool. And it seems like, some people have said this seems like a bit of a power escalation in Kill Team. But you know what? You've got lots of different options. A bit of a toolkit to play different types of games.
Well, this Elite expansion as well, they've said, expands upon the commanders as well.
Yeah.
So suddenly your Space Marine captains can be in Terminator armour.
Cool.
Stuff like that. Your battle suits, your Tau battle suit, can now have an Enforcer suit.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah, you are escalating things a little bit.
Yeah, it's fun. I might pick this up. I've only got the prices in dollars at the time of recording this. $40, so £30 to £35 approximately. Not bad for a expansion book. Similar price to what we've seen for, you know, Commanders. And, yeah, Commanders. So that is coming out alongside 3 new kill teams. Tooth Ripper's Crew, Fractal Blades, and Dolores Strain. Now these are, and I should have written this down on my notepad, we have got Orcs, I believe they are freebooters.
Yes, they're just loot. Yes, no, I think they are freebooters. Yeah.
We've got a Death Guard one, I want to say, with some Terminators. And I can't remember what the third one is, I do apologise.
Thousand Sons.
Fractal Blades.
Scarab Occult.
So they're $65 each, which is about £50. And I believe they come with the Sprue of Scenery out of the City Fight campaign box.
Urban Conquest.
I always forget the name of that.
The only thing that slightly puzzles me about this is, but it's the way, obviously, they're gonna sell them, is I don't think the Elites, it's designed for you to have, like, 5 Scarab Occult Terminators. So whilst you'll get 5 in the box, you may only actually have the points for 1.
Yeah, but you know what? You've got them for 40k as well. And you have, yes. And you can put a few different variants in there as well. You might change throughout the game. So I think that's fine. There's also, and we don't know what this contains, the Killzone Sector Sanctorus, which I'm fairly certain is where Doctor Strange lives, but whatever. So this might be some of the new scenery kits, maybe, the buildings?
Yeah, potentially.
That is $80. So, yeah. Killzones are good. I do regret not picking up some of the Killzones, to be honest.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
They're priced really well. So, yeah, if this is some of the new city scenery, probably is worth picking it up, because, yeah, it's pretty cool. We also have for pre-order on Saturday and available to buy at Warhammer Fest on Saturday, Siege of Terror, Book 1, The Soul of War, in hardback.
Really?
Pre-order on Saturday, out the following week.
Brilliant. I missed this.
It was snuck onto a release list that I was perusing before we came on.
Now, I am all over the place when it comes to Horus Heresy novels, but I'm tempted to delve into that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm about three quarters of the way through the books. I got the limited edition from Black Library, and I'm going to try and finish that before this goes up on pre-order so I can do a proper review of it.
Yeah.
But it is so good. And you know what? You know the backstory. You know the heresy's kicked off. Mm-hmm. You can jump into the Siege of Terror and find it.
I think I will pick up the book early.
There might be a few bits where you go, who's that character? But
I'll just ask you two. Yeah.
Did you read the last one?
No.
Have you read the last one? The Buried Dagger.
The Buried Dagger. I've not read the Buried Dagger.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's good.
If you read the opening three and Flight of the Eisenstein, that was the fourth one, wasn't it?
And Dark Heretic.
Less so. I just think to set up ready for the Soul of War. If you read those first four, most of the characters you know who they are and what's happening.
Well, I'm all right there then.
So yeah, that is $30. It's a hardback version. The paperback will probably be out later in the year, but yeah, good news. You can buy that this weekend.
Excellent.
Also available this weekend at Warhammer Fest are the Funko Pops.
Hey.
Pre-order this week, out next week. I think there's some out in the wild at various gaming stores.
Hmm.
But yeah, you can buy them at Warhammer Fest this weekend. There's four of them available in this first wave.
Dark Angels, Space Wolf, Ultramarines, and Blood Angel.
Yeah.
There you go. I worry about Dark Angel.
Yeah. They do look pretty cool. I don't know how much they are. I don't know, £10 to £15, I guess, is the normal price.
I think
price
they retail at £15, because I think you see a lot of like ones on offer for like 2 for £20.
Yeah. I imagine you can probably get a lot of them on some kind of deal. So, yeah. Speaking of Warhammer Fest, on Saturday, we know about some of the early release stuff that will be available on the day. Not everything, but a few of them. So, Deep Root Strong Branch, the Blood Bowl Tree Man, will be available to buy at Warhammer Fest. He looks really cool. He's like a named character.
He's probably a comic book looking tree lord.
He is, yeah, and you could just use him as a normal tree man in a halfling team, which must be just around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a squirrel on him, so that's always a plus.
We do like our critters.
When so,
it comes
to
Warhammer.
If they've got any left, I probably will buy this because I'm going to do a halfling team for Blood Bowl because I'm mental. There's also a mutated Minotaur for Blood Bowl that's going to be available at the show as well.
Have we seen him?
I think we have seen it at a show with some description. There has been a Minotaur. I don't know if it's a different Minotaur model. It's a mutated Minotaur, so that might be the distinction. There are two Necromunda bounty hunters, Yar Umbar and the Deserter.
These both look cool.
They do look cool, yeah.
One's like a sniper, and the Deserter's like a former guardsman who's a bit of a medic, and yeah, he's a proper mercenary.
So yeah, again, we haven't played the latest edition of Necromunda, sadly.
No.
There's so many games, so little time.
Yeah.
There are going to be some pre-releases for Middle-earth, but we don't know what they are at the moment. Now, tomorrow on Warhammer TV, they have got the famed orange box of Forge World Fame, showing off some early releases. And then they've got a bit of a Middle-earth section as well, and I believe they'll be telling us what is going to be available at the weekend on the show tomorrow.
Excellent.
Or today, I guess, by the time this goes out.
Yeah, it will already be out in the wild by the time this podcast is landed.
This year's exclusive show model is Space Marine Primaris Lieutenant Amelius?
Yeah, I think that's how you pronounce
it. He's available. He looks really cool.
He does look cool. I'm tempted to get him, but I don't know. I'll never use him, but...
You will when you do your Dark Angel army. He'd even fit in a Death Watch army.
Yeah, he would. Thanks, Jake.
You don't even regret it trying to scour eBay for him later.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I might game.
And then the last thing that we know about that is available at the show are the limited edition exclusive Warhammer Community objectives and dice tray.
This I'm definitely buying.
Yeah, snap.
Because we play, I mean, we like going as a big group to Warhammer World, so it'd be good for us to have some different sets of objectives. And as we found, and as you quite rightly mentioned on a couple of occasions, having the 3D objective markers is really cool.
Yeah.
But maybe practically, they're not great.
Yeah, it's they look nice on the table, but in a game where it's important how many things are close to that centre, taking the objective away, then putting it back, and it inevitably moves a little bit. I was lucky enough to use these objective tokens on Warhammer TV last time I was down.
Oh, so you've used them?
I've used them, yeah, the nice weighty metal objective markers. They're really nice.
Very cool.
So, definitely picking up them. And the Warhammer Community Dice Tray looks cool as well, and I believe they're all just one set.
Yeah, right. I like the dice tray.
I think the dice tray is like the lid of the box.
Right, okay.
So yeah, that's really cool. Some breaking news before we came on air. Season 3 of Space Marine Heroes is being out in the wild, isn't it?
Yes, we've seen two Death Guard models, which are going to feature in this this series of blind bags.
Yeah, so essentially there's, I don't know how many there is, number 8 or 9 different models you can possibly get. And blind bags, the Japanese kind of exclusive for a while, then they tend to come over to our shores a couple of years later, realistically, don't they? Mm-hmm. I believe on there was a notice on the way here, Warhammer Community have now put a post up about that as well, and the Terminators from Season 2 are going to be available here soonish. I think they came out in Japan last year, didn't they?
What tempts me more about Death Guard is obviously I've got a little bit of a Death Guard army. And whereas the other two seasons, the other two seasons have been on like your tactical marines and Terminators, which are old school marines now, aren't they?
Yeah,
yeah.
And these Death Guard ones are obviously the same proportioned as the general Death Guard stuff.
Well, I believe that the Terminators are scaled the same as the Black Legion Terminators.
Yeah, they are. They're
slightly bigger than normal ones. You know what I'd love to see? Some Age of Sigmar love with these.
Yeah, I think we've mentioned this on our previous
Stormcast Eternals would be perfect.
I think they'd be very popular. More popular than the 40k side.
I'd happily pick up a few random Stormcaster paint up.
Yeah.
Because I think they've got a bit more characters in them, haven't they?
Well, they have, especially some of the newer ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
So, yes, so that is that's on its way. If you do want them, there are companies that will forward you stuff from Japan. It might cost you a bit in taxes, however.
Yeah. Sorry, we're going to have to call this the coughing podcast. It's not been too bad today, but now we're talking about all things hobby. My throat's failing me.
Well, we've got quite a bumper section coming up with the news from the Australian Championships.
We do.
So this is the first of three big reveal seminars this month. Mm-hmm. The second one obviously being at Warhammer Fest this weekend, and the third one being at the UK Games Expo.
Yeah.
So bonanza month for news. So at the Australian Championship, we saw a trailer, Honor Through Annihilation, and this teased Chaos Knights, Renegade Knights, I guess, to give them their
Renegade
true title.
Renegade Knights.
It looks like it looks Slaaneshi, to be honest, in its purple and gold scheme.
Mm.
And yeah, it was just artwork. However, as we know, the artwork very often mirrors the final miniatures.
Yeah.
Really nice kind of chaotic faceplate. Spikes and gribbly bits on the back of it. I would be all in on a Renegade Knight army if they release a new plastic Chaos Knight.
Yeah, yeah. I think it'll look very, very cool. And it always surprised me that, especially with... I mean, we've had two prints of Renegades.
Renegades, yeah.
But there was no Chaos upgrades.
No, I mean, I suppose lore-wise, it's a freshly turned kind of knight, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where these have been a bit, you know, maybe knocking around in the warp for a little bit longer.
Yeah. But even on the box art for Imperial Knight, like they'd actually converted, like, so like the a lot of the faceplate.
I believe they used a Loyalist Knight model, clipped it up, and repainted it to show his fall from grace.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this in my head is a quite simple release. You could do it with three new sprues that you'd bundle in with old kits.
Yeah.
So one for each. Size, mass, I guess, of knights, which is quite a small release if you think about it.
Yeah.
You just have different face plates and...
Do you think... I wonder if they'll get a character like the Joe the Castellan one.
Maybe, yeah.
Do you think they'll get a book?
I'm fairly certain they'll get a book. If they get in a kit, they'll get a book.
Okay.
I would put money on it.
See, what I've said is, Matt, if you go all in on Renegade Knights, then I might try and... we might even try and do a little bit of it might be a slow burner.
Yeah.
But a knight for a knight. So as you're painting a knight for a knight. So if you're painting up an Imperial, a Renegade Knight, I might grab an Imperial Knight and eventually We may have
a night off, a night to remember,
a night to remember. Oh, all these excellent titles.
It's gonna happen now.
Yeah, that I think would be really cool. And you know, I'd fully approve of the going crazy with conversions, which the observant will notice trends in. You know, Warhammer community staff members' hobby antics on Twitter.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of Renegade Knights kicking around on internets recently.
On internets, yeah.
So watch this space. The second trailer we got at the Australian Championship was Warcry of the Untamed Beasts. Now, this is the second gang we've seen revealed, the first being the Iron Golems, who look ace.
Mm.
These guys are more classic Chaos Marauders.
They look like the Godsworn, I think, from Shadespire.
Yeah, they do. They're very much the kind of Dark Oath vibe.
Yeah.
These guys are low-tech, wild barbarians. They've got a cool, weird chimera, griffin-y monster thing that fights with them. Yeah, we talked about it a little bit earlier. If we've got, you know, eight different Chaos factions, all with different distinct styles, I think it's going to be a really cool game to get into.
I really like the one from the Untamed Beasts, which it looks almost like he's got a horn rat helm.
Right.
And his weapon almost looks like a rat's tail kind of.
Ah, okay.
Definitely that.
Well, you see, that's it. If we've got, I might be wrong, but eight factions dedicated to various flavours of Chaos Gods. Maybe it's six, thinking about it. But I reckon we'll see all of the gods represented in here.
Mm.
I like there's a demon faction with the old unaligned demons of Chaos Furies. Was that Warband?
Yeah, well, Warcry. We don't know if they're kind of a Warband or they're like extra monsters you can take in your Warband. We don't know the details yet, right. But they were, yeah, brand new Furies, which looked amazing.
Yeah.
Looking forward to learning more about this.
Yeah, hopefully we see more this weekend. We saw more about Forbidden Power.
Mm.
In particular, last week we talked about the scenery. There was a few leaked pictures. White Dwarf was like, oh yeah, remember that scenery that came out recently? We've used that. We saw proper pictures and it looks amazing. It is all modular.
Yeah.
It goes together in a few different ways. Looking at the pictures, I think it'll be released like the Sector Mechanica stuff was, where you've got a few unique sprues and they get bundled in different ways to make different pieces.
Yeah.
But then you can mix and match all the pieces to make the massive Egyptian-y style temple of your dreams.
Yep.
And it's got like Sphinx Griffhound statues, which immediately makes it the best scenery kit ever, surpassing the server hauler.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, that's breaking news. We also got a little tease about mercenaries being introduced in Forbidden Power as well. Now, this has caused grumblings on Twitter.
Yeah.
But I imagine it will be with restrictions.
I don't know about this. What is this?
So, in Forbidden Power, you are able to buy mercenaries for your army. An example they gave was Chaos hiring Fire Slayers. Which, incidentally, we mentioned on the Fire Slayers episode that in the lore...
They just fight for
whoever. They fight for whoever pays the highest.
So is this is different than the current ally system, because currently Chaos can't ally with Fire Slayers.
Yeah, I think it'll be specific units that will be able to ally with any army, much like the Dogs of War of old.
Okay, okay.
And also, a lot of people have sort of hinted, potentially, that they might cost more in points than if we
I think you'd pay, yeah. I think you'd end up paying a premium for them, which I think you did with the Dogs of War as well.
So the danger here is that people find really cheesy combinations of units that ordinarily wouldn't go together. So I can't think any of it off the top of my head.
But if they really limit which units from armies can be used as mercenaries, then they're containing that power.
But then from a hobby side of things, if you've got a theme in mind why a particular unit might be allied with another army, that's fine. If the rules restrict you from doing that, then you're not going to gain anything.
Obviously, at the minute, we don't know any detail, so I think it's probably worth holding fire until we know actually what this mercenary system is. What I'm excited about is a mercenary warband of all sorts of mixed different things, like the Dogs of War of old. Greasus Goldtooth leading a mixed army of random ragtag units. That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
But yeah, hopefully we'll know more this weekend.
Oh man, I can't wait for Saturday.
But that's not all the news we had from the Australian Championships. Oh no. Adeptus Mechanicus transports were teased in another video.
They were. So there was like a transcript between the front line and Dominus.
Yeah.
Who you know, this Qatari sergeant or whoever it wants to transport.
I could just make like a dune crawler type thing from Star Wars.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, so this is, again, we don't know much more. I assume that we're going to get a new Adeptus Mechanicus book because we've got the new Magos from Kill Team, mm-hmm. which hasn't got rules in a book at the minute. Obviously, a transport as well would be cool. Maybe another battle box. They seem to enjoy those at the minute.
They've not given any kind of time frame on this, so this is a proper tease.
Well, but they say this, but all these teasers tend to turn up in the next couple of months.
Could it be tied in with the other thing that was... picture because
well yes quite... we had an Iron Hand character revealed
and they're quite close to Mechanicum.
Now I've got some thoughts about this that I won't share till we get to our top threes.
Okay,
but yeah, an Iron Hand's character. I don't think it's any secret that there's going to be some kind of Space Marine / Primaris book again, because with all those kits out of Shadowspear, that could do with a book with rules in.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, he could be the herald of that. He might be in a battle box or something, maybe, like Jay says, maybe combined with Mechanicum, maybe combined with another faction who, gets on with Iron Hands.
I will stroke my beard.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of this.
And speaking of which, that's the news.
Oh, right. I thought I was leading somewhere else.
Well, we've seen some other sneak peeks of other things in the wilds. Which haven't been officially announced.
Oh, yes. But we have seen that. Is a very good point. We'll leave this with you, Jay.
So, we saw, was it yesterday or the day before?
It was yesterday, yeah.
Yesterday, yeah. We saw an image of some new Sylvaneth. Endless spells, scenery piece perhaps, battle tome, dice. So, they must be around the corner. What we saw, if you've not seen the image, was the new cover for the battle tome, which looks very nice. Some new Sylvaneth themed dice, which look a bit grey with green and blue symbols on.
Yeah, they don't seem terribly easy to read. They've got different symbols on rather than numbers.
A bit like the Squig dice.
Yeah, but they'll be fun.
They'll be good for wound counters or something. And then there were two Elder spells on the image. One was the Glade Worm, is it? Which we've seen already. And then the second one was a ghost tree. Now, it was on quite a big base. It looked like it was on a similar size base to Archaon.
Yeah, I don't think it was as big as Archaon.
Was it not as big as Archaon? Base. Maybe as big as a keeper.
No, that's 100 mil. I'd say similar size base to the summoned magma thing via slaves. But it's tall, though. I wonder, traditionally we've had three in the spells with all the releases, but it could be that's quite a big kit, so maybe there's only two Sylvaneth ones. The image does look like it's quite cropped, though. Yeah. So there might be another one just out of shot that we haven't seen, maybe.
Yeah.
We've also seen in all the promotional images on the Games Workshop website of the Sylvaneth what looks to be new, more built-up trees as well in the background.
Yeah, it's hard to tell whether that tree is the same tree we've seen but in a different paint scheme or not, but yeah, certainly. So we've got a few ideas about what might be coming, but it'll be interesting.
In a battle of the trees, this new tree from this leaked image looks like it overshadows the Nalmor.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's only right, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, currently, the Sylvaneth Wildwoods that you can take in the Sylvaneth Army, they allow a lot of units to teleport around. You can hold units off of the board at deployment and bring them down next to Wildwoods. What's interesting is in the new War Scrolls that have been released for Loon Curse, the Tree Revenants, their ability to hop between Wildwoods has disappeared, and now it's been replaced by an ability that lets them hop anywhere on the board outside of 9 inches. Are they taking Wildwoods away, changing Wildwoods?
Well, if they do, Dryads will change them massively, because they're very much built around Tumbling Woods, aren't they?
Yeah, with the buffs they get. And pretty much every War Scroll has a link to the Wildwoods somewhere.
As controversial as it could well be, the ditching of the Wildwoods, as they currently stand, I think, personally speaking, I would be more tempted to collect Sylvaneth if I knew I didn't have to worry about the 2,000 points of Sylvaneth that I've got to carry around, and then the massive trees.
I mean, you're right. I mean, painting them's not so bad. They're quite easy to paint, really. You sit down after you can paint. But they're quite expensive, and you need them. You need at least six bases of them. And it's quite a barrier to start also, a Sylvaneth army.
What we found as well is when we filmed, I don't think it's on YouTube yet, but we filmed a Beastclaw Raiders versus Sylvaneth. And what we found is, if you really wanted to, Jay, you could have really made it impossible for me to get out of my deployment zone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you can. You can. I mean, the battlefield's becoming more crowded anyway with series pieces for different armies. But yeah, you can really be a pain in the bum with Sylvaneth Wildwoods. And you can make the game not fun, Yeah, and at the end of the day, it's got to be a fun game.
Yeah, more than anything, I think that reason's why they may have changed it to a single tree piece.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame for people who've already got a load of trees, but you know, you can have a cool tree themed board, can't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, we don't know when this is out. They look like the promotional images, so presumably very soon.
Yeah.
I think we'll see a next week Sylvaneth post on Sunday.
Yeah, we might see him properly at Warhammer Fest as well.
I think we will definitely see them at Warhammer Fest, and then they'll be up for pre-order the following weekend.
Yeah, personally. I mean the Loom Curse box set that is currently sold out online.
It sold out the same day it went up, I believe.
Yeah. I don't think it did.
Did you not?
No, because I was looking at it on Sunday or Monday, and it was still in stock.
All right, okay.
I didn't realize as well there are two new battalions in that box: Squid Battalion and a Revenant Battalion.
Oh, for the contents of the box.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. I was looking at it because I was like, I really like those Sylvaneth models.
Are you only tempted by Sylvaneth?
No, I'm locked in with Skaven now. Plus, we have a Sylvaneth player on our midst.
There's always room for another Sylvaneth player.
In the future.
Imagine what the board would look like with two Sylvaneth players and one Marvel Star everywhere.
Cool. Awesome. So I think that is actually all the news now.
Excellent. Right. And with that, I think we will delve into our Battletome review, and it is Slaanesh, and it's coming next. It only feels like a couple of weeks ago when we did a Fire Slayers Battletome review. I think it was two weeks ago.
It was only a couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
And we've got another new Battletome.
Yeah, well, Games Workshop are certainly putting out these books at the minute.
So it's the Head Knights of Slaanesh.
Yeah.
It brings Slaanesh back in a big way.
It does, more precisely, Demons of Slaanesh.
Yeah, it doesn't actually bring back Slaanesh, as far as I can tell.
Slaanesh is... So, lore-wise, Slaanesh is still imprisoned. He is slowly releasing the kind of chains that are binding
due
him.
Due to the Necroquake.
Yeah, but he's at the point in the storyline of this book, he's still bound. However, the various Slaaneshi factions are kind of homing in on Ulgu, because he's trapped between the realms there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's some certainly some interesting developments and mentions of other factions in this book as well. There's a little tease of Teclis's Golden Host, I think they're described as.
Ooh.
Another Golden Host, that's all that Age of Sigmar needs, isn't it?
So this will be a Silvery Host, surely.
A Silvery Host. So, I mean, yeah, it is a really nice book. I think it's been eagerly anticipated, this one.
Yeah.
We've got lots of new lore kind of bringing us up to date with what's happened. I kind of, when they announced this, thought this would be the release of Slaanesh, but they might be saving that for a campaign or something.
Mm-hmm.
There's no mortals in here, so maybe we'll get another Slaanesh book in the future containing them. In fact, Ben Johnson said potentially they would do a mortals book on Warhammer Live last week.
Do you find that a little bit odd? Well, I suppose it's not really.
There's enough stuff in here for an army in its own right.
Yeah, because Khorne obviously got mortal and demons.
Yeah.
Siege did.
Nurgle did. They're the only factions that don't have their unique mortal kits.
Hmm. I'll strip my beard again.
Strip your beard again.
Are they mortals? Yeah, they are, but I think they've got the demon keyword.
You can still take as well chaos sorcerers and things, can't you? Because there's a
battalion. Yeah, so you can take anything with the Slaanesh keyword. So any of your mortals that you could previously take from. Yeah, from the old kind of chaos stuff you can take.
That are now just like not slaves in this to book, darkness.
And they don't get the benefits of the Head Knight keyword.
Right, okay.
Which kind of affects a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, the main... I mean, if you've seen the General's Handbook last year, you get the gist of this. There's three main builds of armies that you can have. There's the Godseekers, who are trying to find their god Slaanesh imprisoned between the realms. There's the Pretenders, who are essentially trying to replace Slaanesh. And then there's the Invaders, who are the kind of the hosts pouring in to do all sorts of horrific things.
Just being Slaanesh for Slaanesh's sake.
Yeah. So these three flavours. Each of them has got different like allegiance abilities and different artifacts and command traits. Much like we've seen in the recent books, like the Lodgers for the Fire Slayers, or the different school factions, hosts. The Gobbos, the school hosts. Yeah. I think this is something we're going to see in every book now. It adds some flavour to the army.
There's a little bit of a twist, isn't there? Because there's only three battalions, I think, but depending on which host you choose, it alters the makeup of the battalions slightly.
So the makeup of the big battalion of battalions changes, the one that you're probably not going to fit in a normal list.
Oh, I thought
the individual battalions are the same for all of the factions.
Okay, right.
But there's pretty much one based around each faction.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a change. I mean, you were saying the other day, you've got a lot of War Squad battalions in the Stormcast book.
Mm.
In this one, there's only three.
There's a lot in the Stormcast book, but a lot of them aren't. I find now, when I look at the battalions in like your books, that there's some real bonuses.
They're more streamlined, aren't they?
And like there's some really cool Skaven ones. The Stormcast ones, I find, are a little bit weak when it comes to the special rules.
They were almost like a previous generation. The Sylvaneth ones are quite complicated to build, quite restrictive, quite expensive, and the benefits aren't that brilliant, but it's an older thing.
The Lord of the, I think it's Lord of the Storms or Stormcast, where you take a load of the heroes. All this is of Sacrosanct, whatever. You just get +1 to cast.
Which is good.
Yeah. Which is good, but...
Now, I think, yeah, they came out with the second edition of the game, but I think at some point, something more in line with these more recent books will be needed for Stormcast. And let's face it, Stormcast will get new kits at some point, so they'll get the new book then.
Well, we've seen the Demon Slaying type chamber.
We haven't
seen... Well, we haven't seen, we've just had rumours and whispers
just heard
of.
Rumours.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's probably going to be a thing, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe.
Especially if Celestia ends up getting released.
Yeah.
So yeah, you've got three battalions that you use in a normal list. The Supreme Sybarites, which is 3-6 Slaanesh heroes. That's dead easy. Any hero you like. I mean, that's so easy to fit into your list. This one, at the start of your hero phase, you roll a dice. If it's less or equal to the number of heroes in this battalion, you get one command point.
Mm-hmm.
So if you max that out and have all six of your heroes, which you probably want to try and max out for your... depravity point generating shenanigans, just piling in the command points. Now, we'll say in this book, there's not a lot to spend your command points on.
Right.
The Keeper of Secrets allows something to fight twice, and I believe Silesk has got a command ability as well.
Silesk, is that the Demon Prince?
The Demon Prince with the Herald on his shoulder.
Yeah.
Has an 18-inch Ignore Battle Shock command ability.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's still good. I mean, obviously, you've got other uses for command points as well.
That's what I like about the Skaven. The Skaven have got some really cool ways of getting command points, mainly around the Vermin Lords. But the bonus is, I feel that they've got quite a few command abilities that you can make use of.
But, you know, that's not to say that a Demon Prince throwing out things piling in twice is a bad thing. You probably want to maximise on that.
Yeah.
The second battalion is the Epicurean Revelers. Now, this is a really easy to build battalion. 2-6 units of Demonettes. And then 0-4 Hellflayers, Exalted Chariots, or Fiends, any combination.
And you need at least 2 units of Demonettes in an army, because they're battle line. I don't know what else. The Mortal Seekers are battle line as well, aren't they?
But, you know, that this is so easy to fit in.
Yeah.
Whatever points kind of game that you're playing.
That's an extra command point, an extra artifact.
And the ability is really good. If Demonettes, and Jay pointed out the other day that the Chariots in this formation have the Demonette keyword as well. If a wound rolls a 6, it inflicts a mortal wound and the attack sequence ends. So it's not in addition to any other damage, but it gets round saves.
Yes, it does.
So you're stuffed with the ethereal amulet. Well, they can kiss goodbye to that because the mortal wounds are going through.
Yeah.
Your Nighthorn, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Some stuff you works less so well, so things that get saves against mortal wounds like Archaon or...
Fire Slayers.
Plague Toads. Fire Slayers get the save anyway, regardless of the source of the damage. But yeah, that's really good. And again, it's maximising your drops because you want to be going first with Slaanesh. And then the third battalion, which is my current favourite, is the Seeker Cavalcade. 2-6 units of Seekers or Hellstriders. Obviously, Hellstriders can be battle line.
Hellstriders, that's it.
And then 0-4 units of Seeker Chariots, which are battle line in a Godseeker's host.
Right.
And this allows everything in the formation to be in combat if it's within 6 inches and pile in an additional 3 inches. So if you move your lines up and you accidentally get within 6 inches of them, they can pile in and fight you.
I think part of that is to help you because chariots are on bigger bases, so it gives you more space to maneuver.
It's primarily a Seeker chariot rather than a chariot formation.
Seekers can already move 14 inches, run, charge.
Yeah, but essentially, yeah, your Seekers are in combat turn 1 with this. Your Chariots are a nice bonus on top of that. Chariots being able to pile in 6 inches is good, because like you say, you can get around the back of, you know, a big monster or something and free up some space.
Yeah.
But yeah, all three of these battalions, I think you're going to have at least one of these in your army.
Yeah.
You'd be silly not to, because you like you say, you maximise your command points, your artifacts.
Yeah.
Which is the battle plan where you burn your opposition's objective?
Oh, yeah. These are going to be good at that one.
Now, I was just thinking then, like, I'd be starting everything at the back, but on battle plans like that, you can't do that.
I think you can't avoid Slaanesh hitting your turn one.
No. You just got to wait for
it. If you limit your deployment by putting yourself back, you're putting yourself at a disadvantage straight away. I just deploy in, you know, so you can at least try and fight them rather than just sacrifice the entire board to them immediately.
Yeah.
Because Seekers, they're so quick. They can run and still charge. They move like 14 inches anyway.
Take
that battalion. Yeah, you're not hiding. The Chariots are slightly less quick, but you're still... My list that I made the other day, I think the slowest thing moved 10 inches. And that was the Exalted Chariot, which I could give a artifact to let them run and then charge, so they can that get your turn one as well. They're so, so lightning quick. The main kind of gimmick of the army is depravity points, though. So every wound that a hero causes that doesn't kill a model generates a depravity point. So if you've got a unit of 5 Stormcast and I cause 10 wounds to wipe them all out, I would get 5 depravity points. Because the first wound doesn't kill them, I get a point. The second wound does kill one, so I don't get a point.
So it's only heroes can earn depravity points?
Only heroes can earn them.
Okay.
Any wounds taken by a hero that doesn't kill them earns a depravity point. So this is why I think we'll see some very hero-heavy builds.
Yeah.
Throw them in. There's lots of spells that can heal wounds as well. So if you split your fire and wound a load of heroes, they get a load of depravity points, and then they heal themselves in their turn.
Yeah.
And then do the same again. Meanwhile, they're causing wounds and generating depravity points as well.
Yeah.
It is... If you don't deal with them... By all means, kill the heroes, but if you don't kill them and just wound them, you're going to open yourself up to a world of hurt.
Because you can then spend these depravity points. Is it like Khorne where you can use them on spells?
No,
which
it's
heal,
just summoning. And just summoning. You can only summon within range of a hero. The scenery piece isn't like an icon they can summon to. You get refunded depravity points if you summon near the scenery piece. But yeah, if you take out all the heroes, they can no longer summon.
Right. Again, that's kind of standing demons, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the Khorne's a bit different because they can summon within range of the shrine. The altar, yeah.
But aside from that, you need a hero.
Yeah, I mean, the costs... The cheapest thing that you can summon is 10 demonettes for 9 points.
Right.
Which is kill a unit of... Well, no, you need to kill 2 units of 5 Stormcast, yeah. And you've got a unit of demons.
But, it like with the other books, you get better value the longer you hold out. So, a Keeper of Secrets is 30 points.
Yeah.
If you could take out, say, my favourite unit at the minute, a unit of 30 Hearthguard Berserkers, take them out, you've got a free Keeper of Secrets.
Wow. For your efforts.
Not forgetting the damage that your Keeper's going to take. I think they're going to be quite aggressive and want to take the damage.
I think that's going to be the strong build for what I've seen. The combination where the Keeper of Secrets can heal themselves up D3 or D6 wounds if they manage to do some damage with that hand.
Yes, the hand can heal up. They've got a spell they can heal. I believe there's also a herald spell that can heal as well.
And I think there's a trait as well that lets them heal as well. I think that's going to be... Your Seekers are going to do the work. Your Keeper of Secrets, you do a lot of damage, take a lot of damage, heal up, do a lot of damage, take a lot of damage, heal up, kill the Keepers.
Charging like Evocators or something is probably something you don't normally want to do, but Slaanesh, they don't care. You can get a load of stuff back for sacrificing heroes to Evocators. And if you take a few down with you, brilliant.
Yeah.
It's going to be difficult to play. They are very glass cannony. They're not very tough. They're not resilient. No. But they do so much damage when they strike.
They don't tend to have any saves after saves.
No.
Apart from the Epitome, which has that unique mortal wound swallowing thing. But that's it. It's only that.
And there's actually not much in the way in this book of like minuses to hit that I've seen so far. I think the mask might have some kind of modifier.
Yeah.
But on the whole, you know, if you can take him off the board, brilliant, but you need to make sure you kill him in one go.
Yeah.
In fact, they don't have many minor stuff, but they have a couple of things that give the opponent plus one to hit.
Yes.
These are like, what's they called? Not bribes, but almost like deceptions.
Yeah, well,
gifts. And
one of the other kind of allegiance abilities is the locus of diversion. So, at the end of the charge phase, each friendly Headlight hero can pick one enemy unit within 6 inches of that hero, adding two if it's a greater demon. So here's your Keeper of Secrets coming into play. On a four plus, that enemy unit fights at the end of the combat phase after players have picked other targets to fight.
Ah.
So way at the end of the chain.
Yeah.
The same unit can't be picked more than once. If somebody's got an Always Strikes First rule, it'd cancel it out and you'd fight in normal order.
But there are multiple sources of that effect. So
the different effects that you can stack with that.
Yeah.
I believe the
is it the
not yeah the Contorted Epitome
yeah.
can do something similar as well. I think it's got like an 18-inch bubble where it just rolls. Yeah, I think that's going to be very, very powerful. Against, you know, we've seen some books which can immediately, like Khorne, for example, one of the school hosts, a unit can immediately fight before the entire chain. This ability to put that back to normal. You've got stuff like Fleshy to Court with their mental piling in, Terror Geists and stuff. Yeah, this is an interesting one because it suddenly levels the playing field.
Yep. It just messes with the opponent's mind. I think they're going to be a frustrating army to play against.
If this was like a hero ability, a command ability, you'd be prepared for it, but the fact that it activates at the end of the charge phase, you've kind of already committed where, you know, and it's not just friendly charge phase, it's any charge phase. I mean,
that's it. You send your evocators in to take out that Keeper of Secrets before it piles in twice. Not anymore. On a 2+, those evocators aren't fighting till the end of the combat phase, by which point the Keeper's already attacked twice. Yeah. And evocators have 3 wounds each, so you're getting a unit of 10 evocators is giving the Keeper 20 depravity points.
Which could buy you almost 30 demonettes.
This is mental.
It is. But I think your list would be good. Shooting. Take out the heroes with shooting.
Yeah, definitely.
As long as you kill them. Don't leave them alive, otherwise you're asking for trouble.
The problem is that your shooting units will be in combat in the first turn and will only be able to shoot the 30 demonettes that are swamping them.
This is it. It's going to be very much target priority because, yes, you want to kill the heroes, but that unit of Seekers, about 6 foot down there,
what you're telling me is I need a one-drop Stormcast army just of Ballistas.
If you can get turn one and shoot on board. No, exactly. If you can beat these and do some damage before they start charging, you might have more of a chance.
And to be fair as well, you can deep strike, you know, from the heavens, lightning attack, whatever it is, the Celestial Ballistas. So they can't get charged first turn. They land 9 inches or 18 inches away from the Keepers and blast them to part on your turn. Well, you can do that. Is there any restriction on deploying any? Can you keep your whole army off the board in Age Sigmar?
I don't think there are any restrictions, but the Storm Host's only half your army, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. Okay. The other thing is the Seekers, I think they're a very strong unit in this book because they get a lot of attacks. They benefit from the Allegiance ability where the attacks burst.
We haven't mentioned that, have we? So Euphoric Killers, which used to be in some of the War Scrolls, that's now like a universal rule for Slaanesh. So whenever a Slaanesh model has a hit, unmodified hit of a 6, it does 2 hits. If there's 20 more models in the unit, it does 3 hits. So here's where your massive units of demonettes are doing loads of damage.
That's it.
You can take Seekers in units of 20, charge in straight away, each hit of 6 doing 3 hits.
And they get about 4 or 5 attacks each on the profile anyway.
Pretty good.
And the rule applies to the mount. And I think Seekers, once they've done a wound or something, they get +1 to hit. Although that doesn't affect, it's an unmodified roll of 6. But
yeah.
I think Seekers are very strong. The only thing is they only have 2 wounds with 5+ save. So they go down easy.
Yeah, so the ability for the Seekers, Soul Hunters.
That's it.
If any enemy models were slain by wounds infected by this unit's attacks in the combat phase, add 1 to their attacks characteristic in the next combat phase.
Oh, add 1 to the attacks character. That's even better than +1 to hit then in that regard. Because
and it's by the look of this, it's all, so it'll be 3 attacks each on the person riding it and the
Yeah, it's all melee attacks, yeah.
And then again, 6s if you've got a big unit of 20 doing 3 hits.
Well, each one of them is going to generate an extra 3 hits on average with 6 attacks.
It's fairly mental. Wow. Yeah, movement 14, they can run in charge. I believe they can run further as well. They can run 2d6 instead of d6. So 14 inches... charging up to, running up to 12 inches, charging another 12 inches, they can pile in 6 inches.
Yep.
They will be in combat turn one.
And then fight twice. Can you pile in again, a second time? Another 6 inches?
No, the same. Yeah, when you pile in, you can. If you had that formation, you could pile in 6 inches, yeah.
So the cool.
That is nuts.
But they've only got 2 wounds. They've only got 2 wounds. They're 120 points for 5 of them. They're quite expensive. All the Seneschal's quite expensive, really. It's fragile. 5 plus save, yeah. No ignore wound save.
They don't have any of that. I think
no way to give them ignore wound save either.
They're okay. very.
You just whatever you've got left needs to not fluff their attacks.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to be very clever about what you attack and what you prioritise.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be very finesse on you. Like you compared them to Harlequins. Yeah, yeah, I think they're going to be very much like that.
Yeah, I think they need to dictate the pace of the game, the direction of the game. They don't have the toughness for a war of attrition. You know, they can't camp objectives like goblins with all their -1 to hits or big units of Stormcast with their armour.
Even Khorne, arguably, has got a lot of armour and is a fighter unit.
Yeah, so they need to hit you, get the objectives, put you on the back foot and keep you on the back foot for the entire game, because I think on a level pegging, if they don't dictate what you're doing as an opponent and you can play your own game, they'll struggle, I think.
Right.
Yeah, now, Slaanesh do have some abilities that really help with their dancing around the table and pulling people off objectives in the form of the Endless Spells. So my favourite one, I think, is the Mesmerising Mirror.
Is this the one where if you don't move away from it or you move to...
Yes, yeah, so it's kind of got 2 abilities. So if you start a move within 12 inches of it, you suffer D3 mortal wounds unless you move closer to the mirror.
And a move is a move, a retreat, a charge, a fallback, a pile-in. All of that counts as moving. So in all of those phases, you need to be moving towards the mirror.
So if you have an objective and an enemy unit on that objective, you put the mirror towards your, evil keeper of secrets, you can stay on your objective, but you're going to be taking D3 mortal wounds each time or get drawn towards the mirror and then piled in, 6 inches away from the chariot that's nearby. But that's not all it does. So after it's set up and after the model has moved, roll 6 dice for each hero within 6 inches of the model. For each 6, the hero suffers a number of mortal wounds equal to the number of 6s. Right. So if you roll 6 6s, each 6 causes 6 mortal wounds.
36 what? Mortal wounds.
Yeah.
So what? Hold on a minute.
Just so you roll six dice, yeah?
Yeah.
Each 6 does mortal wounds equal to the number of 6s. So if you roll 3 6s... Each 6 does 3 mortal wounds.
That's nuts. Mortal wounds.
Yeah, I mean, the odds of rolling 6 6s.
Well, you say that, I do like a 6 on a dice.
Where's some dice?
Where there's Warhammer TV dice.
let's see how many mortal wounds you'll take, Dave.
And this is each hero within 6 inches.
Right.
So, and you roll separately for each of them. I mean, like you say, statistically, it's what, a 1 in 6 chance, isn't it?
Let's have a look. Live dice roll. And it's only Slaanesh heroes as well.
No, it's all heroes.
Slaanesh are immune to it. Right at the bottom it says this does not
affect. Oh, yeah, of course it does, yeah.
So 1 6, two six.
Sixes. So that'd be 4 mortal wounds taken.
Right.
And obviously the more 6s you roll, the worse that gets for you.
36 mortal wounds.
That's mental. That is mental.
It is very. It's about 60 points.
It sounds mental. In reality, I don't think he's going
to. I think that the lore ability is better for forcing people to take mortal wounds unless they want to move.
The forcing you to move around is more impactful than the mortal wounds.
Especially when you're so fast anyway.
Yeah.
You know, how often has it been where you literally just hold an objective by a model?
Yeah.
That move could take you off the objective, or even the mortal wounds suffered could take you off the model. Off the objective. So yeah, I mean, I must have written about 6 or 7 army lists since I got this book on. When was it? Saturday it came out, and we're on Wednesday now. It's so good. I think going into the book before seeing it, the traditional build would be 90 demonettes and then top up with flavour. I think you can now do a decent seeker based list or a fiend based list. You could go all out on minimum battle line and then go as many big gribbly monsters you can fit in.
Yeah. I think I want 2 keepers in my army. I've got my demonettes, my seekers, and then I like the epitome and the endless spells.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is a good caster as well. The twins, they plus two to cast, is it, or something, or plus one to cast, plus one to unbind. They're quite strong as casters. They can cast two spells. That
ignore
it.
Mortal wounds on 2+.
Yeah, I think they're quite
on a 2+.
Yeah, they move like 14 inches or something. Yeah, it looks like a really good. But we haven't had a game with it yet. I mean, hopefully over this weekend we'll get a game and just see how they play.
Yeah. We've got enough points between us, haven't we?
Yeah, I can do probably about 3 different 2,000 point armies with the Slaanesh stuff I've got. They are quite expensive in points, so you can't take all the core toys that you want. Yeah,
I found that when I was writing my list as well. The points do add up. The Keeper of Secrets are very expensive.
They are 360 points, I believe.
More expensive than the Geelord Ancient.
The Forge World one has got new rules as well. It's on the app. It's essentially the same as the one out of the book. It doesn't have the command ability. However, it does have like a hair tendril attack that forces mortal wounds. Oh no, it creates depravity points. And so obviously that's something that you want in the book.
Right.
Yeah, this thing only has a 6+ save, Dave.
Yeah, all the stuff is easily killed. If you can alpha strike them and do as much damage as you can, kill a hero straight away if you can, brilliant. If you deploy back trying to get away from them, they're just going to massacre you.
Okay. Because be aggressive.
Not even just don't deploy to give them advantage of the entire table.
Okay.
All right.
Well, rules aside, then let's just have a quick sort of overview of the book. So you've got all the painting guides that have become a common theme.
As with the recent ones, you've got painting guides, really nice painting guides telling you how to do, you know, the skin and banners and various features on the models, which is really nice.
I really like that in these new battle tomes. I think they started it with the Caradhran Overlords and have carried it on.
Yeah.
You know, there's quite a few good guides in the Stormcast one that I've got. The Skaven one, which is the latest one I bought, shows you how to paint warp stone and things like that.
So yeah, it's quite detailed kind of painting guides as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good, and alternate schemes. Yeah, it's really, really good.
And do you feel there's enough flavour between the three main?
Oh yeah, I mean I've been building this chariot list for fun. I don't think it'd be necessarily the strongest list. I think a combination of seekers and demonettes, even the, like you say, the Keeper of Secrets, and everything's got a place in the army. It's just finding the balance between them. But you could easily do lots of different lists. I don't think we'll see much cookie cutter at the minute.
Right.
I might next time we get a Throne of Skulls, I might bring an all chariot list because I'm some kind of masochist.
You definitely need to call it Chariots of something. A take on Chariots on Fire.
Yeah.
Chariots of Fire, even not Chariots on Fire.
Maybe Chariots on Fire in the
Maybe Chariots on Fire. Excellent. So you're both very happy with the book then?
Yeah, it's a really good book. Again, really nice artwork throughout, good lore. They've done a cracking job with all their battle tomes recently.
Brilliant. That is now available to purchase. In fact, you can, if you wanted to, purchase it through Element Games. And if you do, make sure you click the link on a certain sprucesandbrews.com.
World-class plugging there, Dave.
Yeah, there you go. help support the site by using the Element Games link. It would be very much appreciated.
Yes, it will.
It will. So we'll wrap up that Battle Tome review. Let us know what you think of it. Maybe you've had a game with it already. Let us know via social media, at Sprues and Brews, facebook.com/Sprues and Brews, or post a comment on the website. We'd love to hear from you and your thoughts and opinions. Speaking of opinions, we've got our top three coming up next.
Oh, yeah. So, on Saturday we're off to Warhammer Fest. So we want to know, this week, the top three things that we'd like to see revealed at the show.
Yes, you are right, Matt. And very good intro. Had totally nothing to do with me getting it wrong 3 times in a row.
We totally didn't do like 3 takes for that. So I think we'll kick off with you, Dave, for your crimes against intros.
If you can manage it.
What would I like to see as my third choice at Warhammer Fest? Now, I picked this before I opened my mouth today on Facebook, but I'm not going to change what my list is. And that is, my third choice is, I really wanted to see Lena Shade Stormspire available to purchase at Warhammer Fest.
Yeah, I want this one.
Because at the moment she's only available for store relocations and brand new store openings, and they are not very common.
No, they're not.
Now, last weekend for the Australian Championship, the big preview and the big tournament thing they had. You could buy it there.
Was it a new venue, though, maybe?
It's been open for a... I think it is pretty new. Yeah, maybe that's how they tied it in.
Yeah.
yeah. But, yeah, I just... part of me is like, look, Games Workshop or Warhammer released so many limited edition models, which the word limited edition, sometimes it isn't quite so limited. Yeah. So maybe it's nice that they're actually releasing limited
this
edition
This one is
models,
really limited, it's hard to hold off.
But I still really want one.
Unfortunately, the limited nature of this model is reflected in the current eBay price of said model.
Yeah, so I did ask on Facebook today, I put a cheeky... You know, will we be able to buy Lena Stormspire on Saturday at Warhammer Fest? Of which a random guy said, I would say probably not. And then Warhammer Community came along. Probably Mr. Baton, in fact.
He doesn't work with them anymore. He's on the painting team,
of course,
he?
Yes. Yeah,
whoever it may be, they shot down your dreams.
They shot me down and said what that guy said, basically. You're not getting it. Move on. So maybe they can... Maybe she could sell me that.
Maybe they'll surprise.
Maybe they'll throw a curveball. Okay. Maybe he didn't get the memo.
Maybe.
Or she didn't get the memo. Whatever. So there's my third choice, Lena Stormspire. Jay, what's your third choice?
My third choice, and it's in keeping with our current obsession at the moment, I would like to see season 3 of Underworlds.
Cool.
So the next...
Well, we've seen all season 2 now.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. So what was it, Night Vault? So the next Underworld expansion. And gangs.
Awesome.
Cool.
Any gangs in particular you'd like to see in this season?
I'm thinking Seraphon. I'd like to see a Lizardmen gang.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I think they would look cool.
Ooh, maybe have some like pterodons or something that can fly over lethal hexes or something like that.
Yep, there's obviously the Idenef. Haven't got a gang in there yet. Have they been locked in the thingy? So
Yeah,
that would be really cool. And maybe ogres.
Ogres would be ace.
Yeah, well, I mean, Moloch. They could do some of an ogre. An ogre with some noblars.
Yeah, that'd be ace.
Awesome. Yeah, I'd like that. Matt, your third choice.
My third choice is a bit of an out there one, but bear with me. So, we saw an Ironhand character at the preview on the Australian Championships.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of new Slaanesh kits for Sigmar that don't yet have a 40k book with the rules in. The only place you can get the rules at the minute is in the instruction manuals.
Yeah.
Now, the Iron Hands have got a bit of history with a certain Slaaneshi legion. Could we, and this is my most out there one, get an Emperor's Children versus Iron Hands battle box featuring Fabius Bile, this new dude, and some old sprues, followed by an Emperor's Children codex with all the new demon kits?
That could very be, booked to be a possibility.
Do we not think, I don't want to shoot you down, Matt, but I'm going to anyway, that if we were going to see a standalone Codex Heretic Astartes, like you've got your Dark Angels and your Space Wolves and stuff, wouldn't you have thought Black Legion would have had one?
Well, Death Guard have got one and the Thousand Sons have got one, so it seems perfectly reasonable that Emperor's Children and World Eaters would get one for each primary god, with Black Legion essentially being Chaos Undivided, represented as by the standard Heretics Astartes Codex.
Matt thought about this. I think he preempted this question.
I did just wing that just then.
It would also give you a place to put a Return of Fulgrim.
It would, and all these new demon kits.
Yeah.
Yes, that's interesting. That's a possibility. All right, yeah, I'll have
I mean, I'm normally miles off the mark with these rumours when they're
you
on the podcast.
Not. You're not. Usually spot on. Spot on. Moving around to our second choices, or in particular, my second choice. This is probably a little bit of a dull one, but I wanted to try and keep mine a little bit realistic. Dull. Actually, no, my first one's not.
Okay.
Anyway. So, my second pick, I think, is going to be not a Primaris Codex.
Oh.
I think it'll be Space Marines Mark II.
I think you might be right there, Dave.
I think we had hopes of a Primaris-only book, but I don't think Games Workshop are ready to let go. So I think now that we've had Heretic Astartes Mark II, I think we'll get Space Marines Mark II.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be a big old book with all those new kits in.
It's already a big old tome.
Yeah.
But I think it's about to get bigger.
I think you're right. I don't think we'll see those old kits go yet. But, you know, I think there's still the possibility of Primaris Borg.
We'll definitely see a new range of Primaris. Possibly on Saturday, we might see some new Primaris kits. But I think a Primaris-only book is still some way off.
Okay.
I think potentially next year we'll see our first Primaris book.
There you go. There's a hot take from this week.
I think we need more Primaris kits before that is a goer.
Well, you know, if we had a couple of new transports and a couple of new kits, that could well flesh out.
It could. Could a flyer.
A flyer, yeah.
So that's my second pick. Jay, what is your second pick?
My second pick is Vigilus has been burnt and raised and over. What's next for 40k? So I think we might see some hints about the next 40k campaign, whether that ties in with what Matt was saying around about him, because Children of Iron Hands.
Maybe, yeah.
But there's got to be something else now to move the story along in 40k. Abaddon's returned. Vigilus has been concluded. You've got all the things happening on the other side of the Rift Ball. What does Abaddon do next?
And I don't think we've had any 40k releases since Vigilus Part 2, have we? I mean, the Chaos book came out at the same time.
Yeah, but it has been quiet compared to... We've had two Age of Sigmar books.
We've had more than two.
Well, yeah, if we get...
Skaven, Flesh Eater Court, Slaanesh and Fire Slayers, all since, like, early this year.
Right, yeah, so there you go then.
40k does deserve a bit of love. I think that will take quite a big front and centre appearance at Warhammer Fest.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
Because I've got an honourable mention, actually.
Okay.
But I'm feeling like it's not going to be as much of a big thing now. But we'll come around to that.
Okay.
Your second choice, Matt?
My second choice is, as Jay said earlier, Warhammer Underworld Season 3. Stormvolt, maybe, pulling out of thin air.
Stormvolt,
yeah. I'd like to see some new different factions with different mechanics. So maybe, I don't know, a Khorne Demons faction with some kind of blood tithe mechanic. I don't know if it'd be a good shout. I do like the idea of that. Stuff that we haven't seen, basically. Dispossessed, that'd be cool. Maybe Dispossessed. Some old stuff that hasn't had enough. Yeah,
Ironbreakers. Oh, man. I'll just rule that. I'm going to make some rules up for them.
Or a little Free People's Outrider Company.
You're guaranteed to get another Stormcast Chamber.
Yeah.
That's a given.
maybe a new Death faction as well.
Well... They're rumoured, aren't they? This month's White Dwarf.
Yeah.
Intriguing. Maybe Undead Stormcast.
Undead Stormcast. Technically Stormcast are undead, though, aren't they? They kind of sold and been brought back. Reforged, I think it's the politically correct way of putting it.
Yeah.
Rather than necromancy. Okay. That's stepping on the Gash's toes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're already on top choices. So my top choice focuses on... what we know, there's something new coming to the paint range.
Yes.
Now, we have strongly been speculating over the last few days that we think it's going to be a dipping mechanism.
And this is
mechanism? That's the wrong word.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Contrast is what we're talking about. Contrast,
yeah. I personally, it fears me a little bit because I think I'd suck at it to begin with. But I was kind of really coming around to the idea of airbrushing.
I just think that Games Workshop selling and maintaining a range of airbrushes and all the other sort of stuff that goes with that.
Yeah.
Would the store support it big time as opposed to a paint range or something like that?
I think dipping could be cool. You were trying to sell it to me the other day, Matt, but it sounded just like another way of shading.
It is. That is essentially what it is.
And, well, I mean, you can just shade really easy anyway.
Yeah, but what's easier than just that? Pop, shake, leave. Yeah. 60 times, there's your unit clan rat's done. All you need to do is put your foundation paints down, your reds, your browns, your beiges.
But that's exactly what I've done there.
How long does it take you to put the wash on it, though?
It's seconds.
Is it seconds, though? Seconds. For the whole model?
Yeah.
Other companies, Army Painter, they do a big dipping range where they sell the foundation paints and then the different tones.
They claim, and I've seen some of the videos, that you can paint like 2,000 point army in a day with their ranges.
Now, if you had a range where you had like your foundation dips and your layer dips, that makes more sense to me.
I don't know how.
Well, how would that work? Yeah, paint on clever.
I think more like
I'm going to stick to this part of the model.
What I'm expecting.
Jay has his hands, his head in his hands.
David, you should patent that. I think that's what that is. This dip will just paint weapons. This one just paints gems.
What you do is you have this little cup that plugs into your... What was that survey school they released on April Fool's Day?
Yeah.
The eye thing. So it knows what your model looks like.
A dip that just paints eyes. That would be brilliant.
Yeah there you go.
Okay.
It scans your model and picks out your like the raised parts and it just puts a paint on those bits.
Okay,
machine! You just put your model in, you close the door, a minute later it's painted.
Close the door. The easy bake oven of Warhammer.
The easy bake oven of Warhammer.
Yeah. I if we're talking realistically, I think we'll see an expanded range of sprays for your base colours. Maybe block in your other base colours, dip it done.
I'll tell you what's been weird about painting the Skaven, using Chaos Black spray again.
Ah.
I've not used it for a while.
Yeah.
So, it's fine. It's fine. There you go. My top choice went a bit silly there, but that's my top choice. Jay, your top choice.
My top choice is... Now, Age Sigmar has had a lot of love this year already. And we've got more to come in Silverneth around the corner. There's been a couple of rumour engines, which, when I first saw the first rumour engine, I thought, oh, that's definitely Age of Sigmar. Then I realised it had a 40k thing around it. I thought, oh, no, it's 40k. But then there was a rumour engine this week, which looked like it belonged to the same model or a similar range of models.
Is this the scythe with kind of like the bone crossing on it?
And there was one, like a tentacly one, which looked like bone tentacle. When I first saw it, I thought, oh, Tomb Kings. I think we might see a brand new Age of Sigmar faction at Warhammer Fest. Similar to when we saw... I don't know if we saw these at the Warhammer Fest, but Caradrons. Caradrons were a completely new Age of Sigmar faction, something they'd never done before. Idunef Deepkin, a completely new Age of Sigmar faction. I think we're going to see a completely new Age of Sigmar faction.
You're thinking a Death faction then? With
I
the
don't
new
know
whether
it's going to be Death. My sneaky suspicion is it's going to be an Order faction... Death's Rebels. I think it might be an undead army that are fighting against Nagash.
That'd be cool. That's essentially what the Tomb Kings were, but reimagined in an Age of Sigmar style.
You've got the new Stormvault scenery, the Forbidden power sort of... It looks very Kimry-ish.
It's all tying in, isn't it?
Well, we've had the teaser in the White Dwarf of an old... Rival of, or it was a role ally of Nagash, wasn't it? He was Kemrian, he was a high priest.
Yeah. I think it might just be a nice twist. I mean, you've got the Idunef Deepkin, which are an Order force, but they steal the souls of people. Yeah. You know, it's got
the Daughters of Cain are an Order force, but they're essentially evil elves.
So I don't know. I mean, half of it is I'd like to see that, but I also suspect we might see something really wow for Age of Sigmar. I'm really looking forward to what they do with the elves eventually, but I don't think it's the time of the elves just yet.
No.
I think we might see that later on in the year myself.
There'll be a bigger build-up, do you think, to the elves?
I think that'll be part of the Slaanesh storyline, I think.
Yeah.
Where the minute we're still in the kind of Necroquake kind of storyline.
Yeah. And I think an undead faction would tie into the Necroquake.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had one undead faction already. We had the Nighthorn.
Yeah.
And I think a faction to oppose Nagash is what
we
need.
Cool.
I mean, it might be Destruction. It might not be Order aligned. I don't think it's going to be Death aligned, though, because we've got Flesh Eater Courts. And mind you, not like that means anything anyway. I mean, armies are coming up all over the place nowadays.
Yeah. I think that'd be interesting, though, having a Order undead army with kind of summoning mechanics and stuff as well, which Order seems to be lacking at the minute.
Yeah. Plus, it gives Nagash something to play off again in the future. I know. Look, Sigmar's got my undead again.
Because Nagash is the big bad still at the minute.
Yeah.
Archeon, I don't know what Archeon's doing. He's looking for Slaanesh, isn't he?
Is he?
Is he?
And I'm sure in the Idunef book it mentions that he's
having a
catch wind of Slaanesh.
He needs another head for his
horse.
He does.
Torgard needs to eat some, keep his secrets.
All right. Okay. So that is Jay's top choice. Do you want to finish us off with yours, Matt?
So I am fairly... I hope we see this. I'm fairly certain we will see this. And that is the full unveiling of the Sisters of Battle range.
Oh, yeah. I've forgotten about them.
We've seen teasers. We've seen bits of the Rhino. We've seen bits of kits. Glimpses of sprues. But I want to see the full shebang, the Sisters of Battle. We've recently had the questionnaire where The like runners-up got a sister's kit. The winner got a sister's army. They are Emperor willing this year. Hopefully closer than, you know, the end of the year, which they probably will be, but Warhammer Fest seems a good time to give them a bit of an outing.
An outing, even if it's just like a unit or two.
Now, there was rumours that the model that we saw last year at Warhammer Fest would be available at a show this year. It wouldn't surprise me if there's a surprise, oh, you can buy this model today, Sisters of Battle, on offer on Saturday. And yeah, they're keeping it under wraps because that'd be big news.
Here it is, it's sold out.
Yeah, I'm sure they make enough of them for everyone there. Could we see goodie bags come back like we did with the original Tau release where you got Kroot in your goodie bag on the way in?
Man, that would be awesome, that but be highly, awesome.
Highly unlikely. Well,
highly, not when they know they could sell it to you for at least 20 quid.
Yeah.
So,
with yeah, a special scenic base for 40 quid.
Yeah, yeah. Right, yeah. I would like to see some Sister Battle of it, Warhammer Fest. Yeah. And we'll see something. Even if it's just more artwork, there'll yeah, be something there.
I'm sure we'll get a reveal of something.
Honourable mention wise, I'm going to mention the Stormcast actually.
Okay.
Because I strongly thought we might see a new Stormcast battle team.
Yeah.
With whatever the next Storm Chamber is. However, with everything that's going on with Forbidden Power, I don't think it's time yet.
Yeah, I think realistically, they don't often go, here's a book and the book after that and the book after that and all the awesome stuff that's coming with it.
Yeah.
We know the next book from spoilers from the last few days is Sylvaneth. I think yeah, we'll see Sylvaneth. I think we'll see Forbidden Power. I think we'll see Warcry. They're yeah, the next releases. We'll see 40k, Space Marine something. We've seen the Iron Hands guy. We might get another sneak peek at maybe a look at the model for the Renegade Knights and then Apocalypse. Realistically, I think that's what we'll say.
I think almost gone are the days where you just get a special character coming out.
Yeah.
Maybe the big ones like your Lord of Discorder. But with the Iron Hands character, he's not just going to be a separate
release. That screams Battle Box to me.
Yeah, he'll be in a Battle Box. He doesn't quite look... He looks epic, but he's not epic enough to be a release in his own right. He's not a Badden. He's not a Lord of Discordant, you know. But he does look really cool.
Yeah.
He's a reason to buy a bigger box.
He is a reason to buy a big box. Now, what is... We haven't mentioned, actually, and I'm sure we'll make a beeline there, depending on what seminars we can get into.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we get there bright and early to get into as many as we can.
Yeah.
But Forge World and Specialist Games.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm surprised Jay didn't mention this. I don't think it's a secret that the next thing they want to do is Battlefleet Gothic.
Yeah. They did say it's going to be a while out, but maybe they will show some stuff.
Even if it's concepts. So we saw concepts of Titanicus a couple of years ago, didn't we?
Yeah, we did, yeah.
I don't think we'll see Battlefleet Gothic yet, because I think they want to get more of a foothold into Adeptus Titanicus.
Okay. I mean, Titanicus has been super popular.
It has been super popular, but I still think that has some groundwork to do.
Yeah.
So I think we will see more Titanicus... Before, I think Games Workshop have learnt their lesson.
Putting out too much into
too much. Time. I think it's another 12 months at least away. Yeah. Battlefleet Gothic.
To see is some kind of Horus Heresy love as well.
Yeah.
A new starter box, battle box, whatever you want to call yeah, it for Horus Heresy. Even if it was like Malevolence themed, would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Demons and Blood Angels.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of, you know, there's been a lot of demon books out recently. And if you've got a demon collection and you're thinking about getting into Horus Heresy, some kind of battle box with some demons in there, fighting some, yeah, blood angels or something, that's not a good cool way of easing you into it.
Yeah.
And what I would love to see is a new edition, but I think that's not going to happen now.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen either, unfortunately, but it would be nice.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Well, that brings us to the end of our top threes. The podcast isn't quite done yet because we do have your picks, the community picks, coming up next. Matt has his data slate at the ready. Matt, do you want to hit us with the community top three picks?
Yeah, so we have got Chris, Commodore Sleepy, Battlefleet Gothic, a Warhammer 40k version of Warhammer Underworlds. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool.
And New Aspect Warriors.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be cool. Mike loads Warp Axe miniatures. A re-release of air paints in dropper bottles. Never know with all the contrast talk. New Khorne Berserkers. I think they will come at some point. and Malarian.
Oh, the elves.
Shadow elves. Yeah. I think this is where Jay would be all over shadow elves as well, if that happens.
Yeah.
Steve Price, in descending order of likelihood, more Sylvaneth. Yeah, I think we'll see. More Blood Bowl support miniatures, staff slash cheerleaders, etc. That's probably a good shout, actually.
Mm.
And a range of figures to go with Warhammer Fantasy roleplay.
That would be really good. Like it. Some good. Nice modelling pieces there.
Yeah.
And it would scratch an itch with maybe some of the designers that want to do some old worlds.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Warhammer.
Kate Brush, brilliant name. Insights of Warcry gameplay. A teaser on the 9th non-chaos Warcry warband. A new upcoming death faction, perhaps. And dropper bottles. But I guess that won't happen. Michael Selwood, Warcry gameplay. A new 40k army slash faction that is completely out of left field and contrast. Ray Dranfield, scenery designer and superstar, says, I'm there Saturday and Sunday, both very early starters and very long days. So the three things I'm hoping to see are coffee, coffee and more coffee. Can't wait, hashtag WarhammerFest.
Nice.
And Pete Allison, Roombrush, whatever the heck this contrast thing is, golden demon cabinets and catching up with friends and staff.
Aww, that's a nice way to end.
It is a nice way to end.
Did they just say Roombrush?
Roombrush is his name.
I thought you wanted to see a Roombrush. I thought like the ultimate painting.
That's it!
The Roombrush.
Yeah, it's a brush you just switch on and it paints it once for you.
There you go, confirmed right here. Hashtag Roombrush.
Excellent. Right. Brilliant stuff. So, next week's top three.
So next week we'll be reporting on the show, what we've seen, what exciting developments we've had at Warhammer Fest.
That'll be a big feature.
But for our top threes, because obviously we've had the talk about kits that Dave's not been able to get his hands on, what three out-of-production kits do you wish you'd bought at the time? Or were able to get hold of at the time?
Could be scenery, could be individual models, could be units.
Yeah, it could be stuff that you've bought and got rid of and really regret it now because it's like £100 to replace it on eBay.
Yeah, yeah.
All sorts of stuff that I wish I could have. And I suppose Jay's done similar with all his classic demon
hats he's bought. I was really lucky because I always wanted a decent amount of the Warhammer Fortress kit.
Yes.
And I now have a decent amount of the Warhammer Fortress kit. Thanks, Craig. That's awesome. I'm looking forward to some Age of Sigmar Siege games.
Yeah, definitely. They'd be really awesome. Yeah, let us know what kits of old you wish you had. All the usual channels.
Besides, I mean, all these new kits that they're throwing out, you know, we're still not satisfied. We want some of the old ones back.
Yeah.
We always want more.
We should really, Matt, be sending a thank you out on this podcast as well. Because, as we have been talking about on Twitter, and as many people may have noticed, but we have slightly changed some of our imagery.
Yeah, I think our latest video, I put the new image in as well, didn't I?
Yeah. So we have a brand spanking new logo, thanks to John Scrivens, the awesome artist.
Yeah, store owner slash comic book artist slash awesome dude.
We approached him a few months ago over the idea of commissioning him to... Because we'd been playing with the idea, hadn't we, Matt?
But we had, yeah.
We are not artists.
No, we wanted to get a nice logo to tie together everything, just give everything a bit of a refresh. Site refresh is in works, isn't it, Dave? You're working on that?
It is, yes, yep.
And we'll hopefully get some merchandise as well. We'll definitely get some dice done, some T-shirts. If you guys want to get some T-shirts and mugs, let us know if you're interested.
Yeah, definitely. If you would roll some Sprees and Brews dice, let us know. Because, I mean, the old logo just wouldn't have looked right on dice. It wasn't designed for that purpose.
It's served its purpose, but I think now's the time for a refresh.
Yeah, this is a lot more straightforward, a lot simpler, but it's brilliant. I love it.
Yeah, it's cool.
I absolutely love it. So thanks, John, for all your hard work that you did, keeping us posted on your updates. And he does do commission work. If you search for John Scrivens on our Twitter, I can't unfortunately remember his Twitter handle, but look out for him.
Scrivo, let me find him. It's at John Scrivens.
There you go. So if you have some artwork done, get in touch with him. He's great.
Yeah, he does a lot of stuff for the Honest Wargamer, all their kind of like title screens and stuff.
Awesome. So yeah, thanks, John. That wraps up this week's podcast. We're probably going to be on absolute cloud nine next week because we're going to be talking about all the funky stuff we saw at Warhammer Fest. So I can't wait. You guys can't wait.
Nope.
Yeah, we need to work at what time we're getting up to get there.
Yes.
Yeah. Bring on the coffee, as Ray says, and we'll definitely speak to you all again next week.
See you later.
Bye. Bye.